This is 89.9 WWNO. If you're looking for something to do this weekend, you don't have to look far. The French Quarter and the New Orleans Arts District are bursting with activities. Uptown, a classic musical will tug at your heartstrings, and we have a little poetry to soothe your soul. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The life, legacy, and music of Louis Satchmo Armstrong comes alive as the 12th annual Satchmo Summerfest kicks off 3 days of activities at the Louisiana State Museum's Old U.S. Mint in the French Quarter this weekend. The free event, produced by French Quarter Festivals, Inc., is expected to draw some 30,000 visitors from around the globe. Festival Executive Director Marcy Schramm.
Satchmo Summerfest is the only Louis Armstrong festival in the world, and of course he's our native son, and we take so much pride in celebrating what he did for us, his life, his music, and the legacy that he's left, and the influence that he still has today on young artists and on fans. There's no one else like Louis Armstrong. He really changed the world through his music. He was an innovator. He changed the face of jazz as we know it. He invented scat. There's just so many things he contributed. And so it's an honor for us to be able to throw this party for Louis and really celebrate him on the weekend of his birthday.
A birthday that has stirred a little fuss.
It's a very controversial thing. During his entire life, he said, "I'm a Yankee Doodle Dandy. I was born on July 4th, 1900. And after he passed, some local scholars here in New Orleans, Tad Jones, actually found his baptismal records at a church. And it was August 4th, 1901. So it was off by a year and a month. And you know, a lot of people understandably say, you know, if Louis said it was July 4th, we should honor that. But the birthday really is August 4th.
And Schramm says it's a momentous occasion as Satchmo Summerfest returns to a newly renovated mint.
The third floor of the Old U.S. Mint is now this beautiful state-of-the-art performance facility. And so we will have our seminars for the first time ever in this gorgeous new facility. It's just beautiful, and you feel like you're in jazz at Lincoln Center in New York. It's so perfect. So we're really excited to come back and have the entire festival at the Mint. We're not quite as spread out as we were. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, there's these wonderful Satchmo seminars, and what we do is we bring in scholars and musicians, people from all over the world. A lot of them knew Louis Armstrong and worked with him. Louis Armstrong's record producer, George Avakian, Dan Morgenstern, famous editor of Downbeat. Just this wealth of information and history, living history. And they come in and they talk about Louis. They show rare films, rare footage. They play music. It's wonderful discussions and informances that people can just learn and just enjoy Louis by seeing it firsthand through the films we show and such. Then on the grounds of the Mint, we've got two stages of mostly traditional jazz. This is a great traditional jazz festival, one of the very few that are in New Orleans, just dedicated to that kind of music. And we've tented the whole Mint. Everywhere you go, you're in the shade. We started that last year, and it's been a wonderful addition. So in that August heat, you get a little relief, you know, with the misters and the fans and the tents, and you can really enjoy that music and the great food.
The musical lineup includes
the Preservation Hall stars will be playing, Wendell Brunius, Connie Jones, the amazing cornetist, the Pinettes, the all-ladies brass band will be playing, Jeremy Davenport, Kermit Ruffins. It's all New Orleans musicians and just the best of New Orleans music.
You'll find fun, educational activities for kids inside the Mint and some special events like the
50th anniversary of Preservation Hall exhibit is up inside the Mint. That's on the second floor. And during Satchmo, it's free and open to the public. The Louisiana State Museum pulled some items out of their permanent collection, like Louis Armstrong's first cornet is on display. And it's only up for a few more months, and it's a real beautiful thing to see. We also do a jazz mass on Sunday morning at St. Augustine Church in Treme, and that is always standing room only. It's an incredible mass with the Treme Brass Band and lots of other visiting and local musicians. And then there's a second-line parade, a very traditional second-line parade, leaves the church and comes to the Mint. So that's a lot of fun to participate in or just watch.
The 12th annual Satchmo Summerfest runs August 3rd through 5th at the Old U.S. Mint in the French Quarter, 400 Esplanade. Schedule information at fqfi.org. Do you think you have the chops to become the next Louis Armstrong? Well, the French Market Corporation, New Orleans Jazz National Historical Park, and Uptown Jazz Orchestra will hold the third annual Seeking Satch Student Trumpet Contest during Satchmo Summerfest. Contest Chairman Delfio Marcellus.
Our hope is to get as many youngsters involved to not only learn about the great legacy of Louis Armstrong, but also give them a chance to be competitive and to meet each other and to find out what's going on with the youngsters in the city. And throughout history, we find that the great musicians have excelled in that fashion. So if you talk about, you know, Charlie Parker and what he accomplished, you have to say also Dizzy Gillespie and Jay McShann and Johnny Hodges and the people who are around him. So we find that it's good for the youngsters to commiserate and get together. It's going to be happening at the old U.S. Mint this Saturday from 10 a.m. till about 12:30. We're going to have some professional musicians who are going to have a roundhouse discussion after the competition. So interested students should contact Amy Kirk, A-K-I-R-K, at frenchmarket.org, or you can always phone 504-289-0789. And you can also just show up. The main thing is that if you love music and you want to be a part of something great in New Orleans, this is the time to come and show what you got.
The contest, designed to keep New Orleans jazz traditions alive, is open to students in grades 6 through 12. Prizes include a new trumpet, paid performance gigs, and cash. Party would not be a word if it were not for the art in the middle. That's the saying at the Contemporary Arts Center as the first Saturday in August kicks off Whitney White Linen Night, an arts stroll benefiting the Contemporary Arts Center, presented by the New Orleans Arts District. Contemporary Arts Center Communications Director Lindsay Ross.
This is our 18th year with Whitney White Linen Night, and as always, we take over the New Orleans Arts District, and we'll be closing down Julia Street for a Julia Street block party from the 300 to the 700 blocks.
Some 35,000 guests are expected to don light summer attire as they stroll the Arts District, visiting 21 participating galleries and museums, exhibiting contemporary works in all mediums. Ross says it will be a final opportunity to see a special exhibit at the Contemporary Arts Center.
It's Nola Now, Part 2, The Human Figure. And the show is curated by Don Marshall, who many of you all know is the director of the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival and Foundation, but he was the very first director of the CAC in 1976. And he took a look back at some exhibitions that were put together in the late 70s and early 80s. So this show was inspired by the human figure that Alexandre Monet curated in 1982. And it features 140-plus local artists in the show. It's on the first and second floors of the CAC, and it closes on August 5th. So this is the last chance to see that show.
You'll find live music on three outdoor stages.
We have Jim McCormick, who received a master's in poetry here at the University of New Orleans. And he right now has one of his songs as number one on the country music charts. And we got lucky. He lives in Nashville now. He's a New Orleans native, but he happens to be in town the weekend of Whitney White Linen Night, so he's put together a little duo for us, and he'll be performing with Mark Carson on the street. We also have Jim Smith's Damn Frontier. And Jim Smith is a singer-songwriter who's hosted the very popular open mic night at Checkpoint Charlie's for 20-plus years, and he's put together a band to play for us. And finally, we have Picnic. And Gina Phillips is an established visual artist here in New Orleans. She works in textiles. She's in the permanent collection at NOMA and the Ogden Museum of Southern Art, and she has started her own rock band called Picnic, an indie folk rock band.
Ross says there's plenty of food, and the signature cocktail is back.
Well, we have been perfecting our signature cocktail recipe, and it's been very popular. Sold out last year, so we decided to bring it back. It's a ginger mint lemonade, and we actually take the effort. We order fresh mint, fresh ginger, distill that down to a delicious concentrate, and create a rain vodka ginger mint lemonade. So that's available at every bar, on every block of Julia Street, and also back at the Contemporary Arts Center.
The festivities continue into the wee hours with an after-party at the Contemporary Arts Center.
There is, yes. Once you hit all the galleries on Julia, if you want to head over to the CAC from 9 to 11, it's really 9 till, goes past 11 usually. We have the Mod Dance Party DJs, and they spin vinyl records, old funk and soul from the 50s and 60s, a lot of New Orleans classics. And we'll have food and drink, too, and it'll be air-conditioned. So you can get off the streets and come dance in our atrium in the air conditioning.
Activities inside the Contemporary Arts Center are ticketed events. Whitney White Linen Night kicks off Saturday at 6 p.m. in the New Orleans Arts District. More information at cacno.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. Are you headed instead for a contemplative weekend? Perhaps you'll hear the lyric call of poetry. WWNO's Fred Kasten, who produces The Sound of Books, takes a peek inside the new work from New Orleans native and University of South Carolina English and American Studies professor Ruth Salvaggio. Hearing Sappho in New Orleans, the call of poetry from Congo Square to the Ninth Ward.
Ruth Salvaggio grew up in the Upper Ninth Ward and carries vivid memories of frequent childhood outings to City Park.
I was brought up on nursery rhymes. They were read to me incessantly. And then also, when I was a child, that was around the time that, what is it called, Storyland or Storyville was built at City Park.
Yeah, Storyland.
And I practically grew up at City Park because my father would take all of us kids there every Sunday. And, boy, it was a thrill, you know, to go on the Ferris wheel there, to go on a few of the rides. Some pony rides were there at the time. And I remember when that whole nursery rhyme world was built. Well, that just seemed like fairyland to me. But that's what my interest in poetry went back to.
An interest that would ultimately find expression for Ruth Salvaggio in a Ph.D. in English from Rice University.
I always enjoyed writing exercises in school and making up not so much fictions, but descriptive accounts of things. And then, of course, as I started school, I remember my first classes in English at the University of New Orleans, just freshman composition and writing classes. And then eventually I went on to focus pretty much all of my attention throughout my career on poetry, but as a literary critic.
Ruth Salvaggio taught for many years at the University of New Mexico in Albuquerque, then for shorter stints at SUNY Binghamton and Purdue. She was in the process of moving to North Carolina for her current job at UNC Chapel Hill when Katrina hit in late August of 2005. Though Salvaggio had not lived in New Orleans full-time for years, she and her partner did own a house in Lakeview, not far from the 17th Street Canal, and it was all but washed away when the levees broke. Salvaggio came back to New Orleans soon as she could in the fall of 2005 to see what, if anything, could be salvaged from her house.
For better or worse, New Orleans is a city that's always been infused with very vibrant memories for me, just of all the things in it, which is probably why when I saw the devastation after Katrina, it registered to me as a kind of a loss of poetry when everything was just brown and destroyed and piled up as trash. It registered in a peculiar kind of way.
An initially amorphous sense of loss that began to acquire definition and direction when Ruth Salvaggio uncovered the sodden remains of a volume of the poems and fragments of poems by ancient Greek poet Sappho among the ruins of her house.
It led me back to her poetry, which had also been lost and which also remained only in fragments over many disasters over at least two millennia. And that's when, slowly, not right away, but slowly, as I began to collect my thoughts on what was happening, I realized that I could mine this comparison between Sappho's lost fragments, which still miraculously reemerge for us and take on tremendous meaning, and the fragmentary but powerful and recurring lyric traditions in New Orleans, which are certainly recognized in our musical traditions, to be sure, and in some words to songs, but I think have not gotten their due, let me put it that way, in characterizing what I now have come to understand as a very deeply poetic city. Not just a city that, you know, oh, it's beautiful, it's haunting, it's poetic in that sense, but a city where poetic expression continues to flourish in the face of tragedy and disaster, and often turns disaster into desire.
Part meditation on the nature and importance of lyric expression, part literary history and critique. The new book by Ruth Salvaggio is Hearing Sappho in New Orleans, The Call of Poetry from Congo Square to the Ninth Ward. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Kasten.
The Sound of Books with Fred Kasten can be heard Wednesday mornings at 7:35 here on 89.9 WWNO. Uptown, a classic multi-Tony Award winner that has tugged at the heartstrings of audiences around the globe for nearly five decades, closes Tulane's Summer Lyric Theater's 2012 season. It is, of course, Fiddler on the Roof. We go inside the arts for conversation with musical director C. Leonard Rabin and actor and WWNO announcer Bob Pavlovich.
The musical started in 1964, and it's had legs, as they say. One of the big theater jokes here in town is, who's going to do Fiddler on the Roof next? It's been a popular show here for at least the last 10 years, with so many musical theaters doing it.
And actor Bob Pavlovich says there's good reason why this musical, which takes place in the tight-knit Jewish community of Anatevka in early 20th century Russia, is endearing to all audiences. It has something to do with its theme.
It's dealing with topical themes of change and persecution, teenage rebellion. I think all of those things combined make it a popular and fun musical.
Musical director C. Leonard Rabin adds,
probably most shows that you see, you're going to see sequins and big production numbers, and you're not going to see that in Fiddler. You're going to see real people dealing with real problems, you know, peasant costumes. I think people identify with that more, whether you're Jewish or not.
This is the story of a poor dairyman named Tevye, who is trying to impart traditions of his community to his daughters in the face of changing social values and growing anti-Semitism in Tsarist Russia. One of the subplots involves an arranged marriage between his eldest daughter, Zytel, and a much older man, Laser Wolf, played by Pavlovich.
We set up the marriage, and we drink on it, and then Zytel reveals to her father that she doesn't want to marry Laser Wolf. She wants to marry the man she loves, which is a shock. Love. When does love enter into this? Because this is the time of arranged marriages.
Audiences will experience a gamut of emotions and no doubt will hum along to familiar songs like Matchmaker, If I Were a Rich Man, and Sunrise Sunset, performed by members of the Louisiana Philharmonic Orchestra. Musical director C. Leonard Rabin says his biggest challenge?
How to take us out of New Orleans. You have to not only make sure that we take all of the sort of New Orleans dialectical things out of everyone's singing diction, and then you have to take them back to another time. And I say to them, you know, you aren't just people in New Orleans in 2012. You're not just Jews in New Orleans in 2012. You're Jews in 1905 Russia that feel thousands of years of tradition behind you. So you are so far and away different than the person that is actually sitting in your chair right now. And you have to take that mantle on if the music is going to have any lift to it. This cast has really come through.
And the title. How did this story of a dairyman, tradition, and change come to be called Fiddler on the Roof? Pavlovich says,
the story behind it is Tevye and his five daughters and other tales from a piece written in the late 19th century. The original show was supposed to be Tevye, but what we get out of it is a painting by Chagall entitled The Fiddler, and it is a metaphor for survival, tradition, joyfulness. And so when it came to giving the title to the show, they went with Fiddler on the Roof, which is always, you know, why are they up there? Why is that fiddler on the roof? Tradition. It's always been there. It's been the symbol for us to persevere.
The tight-knit village of Anatevka comes alive as Tulane Summer Lyric Theater presents the celebrated musical, Fiddler on the Roof, directed by Elton Gino, with performances running August 2nd through 5th in Tulane University's Dixon Hall. And we have a little something extra in our Lanyap Corner. Southern Rep Theater has a new home at the Contemporary Arts Center. The theater will continue to bring new plays to New Orleans with this partnership. Southern Rep will begin its residence in November. The Southern Rep at the CAC 2012-2013 season will be announced in August. The Shakespeare Festival at Tulane is the recipient of the 2012 Arts Midwest NEA grant for the program Shakespeare for a New Generation, which brings performances of Shakespeare's works to young audiences. The $25,000 grant will enable the Shakespeare Festival at Tulane to provide free tickets and transportation reimbursement to 100 students from 12 local public schools. And you can meet artist Rob Stevens, a native of Alexandria, now living in Idaho, who will make a debut during Whitney White Linen Night Saturday with an exhibition of prints entitled All Alive and Close Enough to Touch, on view at the Foundation Gallery, 605 Julia Street, from 6 to 9 p.m. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next week at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.